God. Appreciate that.
Enjoyed the song service tonight. Tremendous. Appreciate the opportunity to be at Fletcher these 2 weeks. It's been a joy. Preacher Darren, why did the pastor extend it into week number 2? Get us to where we are tonight. As the Lord led. And I'm looking you right in the eye. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you are. But tonight, the Savior is here. And He wants to do a work in the Fletcher First Baptist Church. And He wants to do a work in your individual life. And I promise you, Jason, every single thing, every song, our special singers, everything lines up perfectly with what God's leading us tonight to share. And I don't know who you are. You've been looking for some sign. You've been waiting for some moment. But I promise you this. There'll be no greater sign given to you than the fact that Jesus Christ gave His life on a cross. That He was buried. And He rose again on the first day of the week. And He is knocking on your heart's door. And it is undeniable. And He is speaking to you from the outside of that door saying, "Open unto Me." He is speaking for you to come unto Him. He spoke to you and spoke to you and spoke to you. This is no accident that everything said and done has led up to this very moment. You'll find the reading in the book of Matthew chapter 14. Don't cut me off because you've read it before. Maybe God would show it to us in a different light tonight than we've ever seen it before. I want to preach on this thought. Unsinkable faith. Unsinkable faith. Matthew 14, if you do the word of God the honor of standing in reverence for the reading thereof. Verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water." And He said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately, Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, "Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God." unsinkable faith. But God. Father, help us, I pray. Save, encourage, rekindle, revive, refresh. Help, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Preacher Darren, why you get tore up? Because he's speaking. And I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy to be in his presence, and I know he's here. We find the disciples in a storm, and there is no one that is exempt from the storms of life. Every single one of us will, at one point or another, experience the storms of life. And these storms come against us of every kind. There are financial thunderstorms. There are family tempests. There are marital monsoons. There are relational squalls. There are health twisters. There's the invasion of death upon families. Needless to say, for us to get through a storm, we need the Savior. And you're going to find that there's only one Savior in the storm that can rescue the disciples. And that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to find there's only one Savior that can save your soul, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Man's feeble efforts. I've read every parallel passage in the Gospels about this, and man's feeble efforts could not save themselves. Good works would not deliver them. A head knowledge in the middle of that storm, knowing in their head who Jesus was, did not rescue them. Swimming lessons did them no good. A course in meteorology did them no good. Their strong arms of rowing did them no good. Having a good boat did not save them. The storm was too fierce. The waves and the wind action was too strong. And the shore is too far away. There is only one who is able to walk on the waters of life, the troubled waters in which you're in. There's only one who's able to deliver you. My Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name is Jesus Christ. He is the one that calms the storms. Jesus is Lord over the storms. He is Lord over lords. He is King over kings. Doesn't my God deserve a little praise? When I look at the text, I see, first of all, number one, the predicament of the sailors. The Bible says in verse 22, straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him unto the other side. Straightway, after the multitude has been fed, after the miracle has been performed, Jesus constrained his disciples. What does that mean, Preacher Darren? He forced them. He pushed them. He coerced them to go forward to the other side. You know what was happening right then and there? According to John chapter 6, verse 15, there is a movement after he fed the 5,000 men, not to mention the women and the children. There was a movement to make Jesus king. And you're looking at me funny when I say it. But in John 6, 15, let me read it to you. Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king. And he departed into the mountain. Jesus is sending them away before this moment. He's going to depart. Well, Preacher Darren, it's a crowning moment. The disciples know they're about to make Jesus king, and they don't want to leave. They're thinking, if Jesus is king, we're his royal subjects. we'll have power. We'll have popularity. We'll have prestige. But Jesus knew what they needed. Contrary to popular opinion, Jesus sent them on ahead. But Preacher Darren, he's putting them in a storm. Amen. He knew they'd go into a storm and they would handle the storm better than they would handle popularity. They would handle the storm better than they would handle success. The predicament of the sailors. You remember what the disciples said when the crowd was there and Jesus preached to them? When it got late in the day, Jesus said, or the disciples said to Jesus, send them away, that they go to other villages and get their own victuals. Jesus said, give them to eat. You remember that? The disciples said, send them away. Now who's being sent away? The disciples are being sent away. That's the predicament of the sailors. Second of all, I want us to see the preeminence of the Savior in verse 23. He sends the multitude away. And verse 22, he sends the multitude away. Verse 23, after he's done so, he goes up in the mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. Guess what? He was absent from his disciples. He was alone. He's withdrawn from the crowds. Amen. He's up there on the side of the mountain in order to seek the face of God the Father. He is ever living to make intercession for his disciples. I'm saying right now to you, I need amen here. If you agree, he is making intercession even right now over this meeting tonight, over this feeble preacher that's not able, over this crowd tonight, that God, that he would feed you and that your souls would be saved and that your souls would be encouraged. He's absent from them, but though he's absent, he's praying over them. May I go a little further here in this thought? Verse 23, the Bible says, when the evening was come, he was there alone. But verse 24 says, the ship was now in the midst of the sea. There are other gospels that said he saw them toiling, rowing, saw them in the middle of that storm. Not only is he absent, but although he's absent, I need amen right here, he's attentive. He knows what's going on. I mean, what a day he's had. He's had a full day traveling across the lake, ministering to those people and their needs all day long, dealing with healings and pressing issues. And now, here are the disciples. The Bible says the boat is in the midst of the sea. John gives us more details and tells how many furlongs it is. I measured it. Did you know that they're right as far in the middle of the sea as they are? They're halfway from the shore and halfway from the other shore. On both sides, they are truly, according to the measurement, right in the middle of the sea. There's no going back, and they can't get further ahead. They do not know what on earth they're going to do. They're furthest away from the shore to the human eye. They're over their head. They're at the most vulnerable. They're at risk. And up on the side of the mountain, Jesus is in communion with God the Father over their plight in the middle of the sea. May I say, he was looking over his disciples. Child of God, he is watching over you tonight. His eye is upon you. He knows your needs. He knows your heart's cry. He knows your need of salvation. He knows your need for faith. He knows your need for supply and for provision. He knows all about it. And I'm telling you tonight, he is the preeminent Savior. Thirdly, I want to see his predominance over the storm. Verse 24, they're in the middle of the sea, most vulnerable. They're tossed with the waves, and the wind was contrary to them. He sees this condition. And we've already said it, but let me give you some W's right here. He's watching, amen. He saw them straining at the oars. A storm has blown in. They're surrounded by the storm. What on earth are they going to do? It's an unexpected storm. This storm is threatening their very existence. To you, young lady, sir, I'm talking to you. You're not saved. You need to be saved. There's a storm that's over you. A death sentence is hanging over your head. Amen. The wages of sin is death. Amen. It is threatening your very existence. Tonight is a night he is summoning you to come to him in faith that he may save your soul. This is the night the Lord is dealing with you. Amen. There are contrary winds. The winds are hostile against them. They're adverse. They're blowing in opposition to them. There are crashing waves, tossing, tossing, tossing. The sea is angry, and all of this has happened very suddenly. On board that vessel are captive workers. They're toiling and rowing. Did you know I read all through my Bible, and every time I saw someone toiling, they never made it to shore toiling, rowing. Never in their own effort. You will never get to heaven, young lady. You will never get to heaven, son, in your own efforts. You'll not get there because your daddy's the preacher. You're not going to get there because you know the deacons. You're not going to be there because you're faithful to go to church. Hey, the only way you're going to get there is because you've admitted you're a sinner and Jesus Christ is a Savior. He's the only one who can rescue you in your storm. He's the only one that can reach you now. Daddy can't get to you. Mama can't get to you. It's just you and Jesus. And here he comes, right to where you are, to grab you and to save your soul, to grab you and encourage you tonight. Amen. I'm telling you, they're captive workers. They're weary. They're expending all their energy. They're being tortured by the winds and the waves. Now, these disciples have been in a storm before, but never just like this. He's watching. I want to say in verse 25, I think he's waiting. Preacher Darren, you think he's waiting? Well, look. Verse 25 says, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. The fourth watch of the night is from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. It's when it's darkest and most dangerous. Right now, this is the last night. It is your most dangerous, most vulnerable. It is the darkest day of your life. And I'm telling you, they are desperate. They're disoriented. And when they were in that shape, Jesus came to them. Preacher Darren, you said he waited. My Bible says in the book of John chapter 11 that when Lazarus was sick, that Martha and Mary sent for Jesus and said, he whom thou lovest is sick. And my Bible says that Jesus tarried. You would have expected he said, I'll be right there. That's not what he did. My Bible says that he tarried. He waited. Did you know what he said in the book of John chapter 11? He stood up before his disciples and he says, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Wait a minute, Preacher Darren, Jesus just said Lazarus is dead and I'm glad? That's what the Bible says. I can pull the book on you and take time to read it. Lazarus is dead and I am glad. He waited until Lazarus died. Now listen, how do y'all know it would have been a great miracle if Jesus had just ran right over there and raised up Lazarus from this sickness or this disease? It would have been a great miracle if the Lord would have raised him up and healed him. But it is an even greater miracle because he waited until it was most past human reasoning and human logic. And he waited until it was darkest and most dangerous. And then he strolled in and said, Lazarus, woo! He called him by name, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot. I'm telling you tonight, God says I've got a Lazarus that I'm trying to deal with tonight, and I'm calling him forth to a place of salvation. You look around and say, Preacher Darren, which one of us is lost? You better look at yourself, amen. Now, he's waited to when the storm is the greatest, when it is now the darkest, when the disciples are at their weakest. His timing is perfect. And they, listen, When the storm started, it was evening, about 6 or 7 o'clock. He's sending them on ahead. He went up on the mountain to pray. They've been in a squall before. They've seen storms. They're fishermen. They know the Sea of Galilee has these sudden storms. So at 7 and 8 and 9 o'clock, they say, hey, we got it. We're okay. But all of a sudden, that thing started turning. During the watches of the night, it got more dangerous. It got more vicious. It got more horrible. I'm telling you, God has dealt with you before. He spoke to you before. He's called you before. And I'm telling you, you've waited and you've waited. But tonight, I'm telling you, the Lord has waited on you, but he's ready to move forward. And I'm telling you, he's speaking to your heart about what it is you need to do in your life. It is time for you to step out in faith and trust him. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is watching. He is waiting. Look with me in verse 26. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea. See that? Fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to him, walking on the sea. Verse 26 says, they saw him walking on the sea. My Bible says, when they saw him, they were troubled. And they said, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. The storm is vicious. It's dangerous. Waves like we've never seen before. But here he comes, walking on the billows at perfect peace. Mark's gospel said that he would have passed right by them. He was going right on by. And they began to cry out. You know what? Well, Preacher Darren, why would he have passed them by? He was waiting for an invitation. Lord, will you come to my boat? Lord, will you come over here? We're in a storm like we've never seen before. I'm telling you tonight, there's somebody you need to call out to him. You need to cry out for him, saying, Lord, over here, I'm in imminent danger. Rescue me, Lord. Please help me. He's unhindered by the force of the winds. He's unhindered by the raging of the waves. Note his power. Note his authority. Note his strength. Note his dominion. They are troubled. They are panicked. They are distressed. They are shocked. They are shaking. He is walking in perfect peace. He has victory over the storm. He has victory over the waves. He has victory over the wind. When they see him, they say, whoa, it's a spirit. It's a ghost. What? Oh, it's an apparition. Oh, Thomas. Oh, Peter, James, and John. I've heard about it. What on earth are we going to do? They started jumping to conclusions. Have you ever got so afraid you start jumping to conclusions? You start believing something's true that's not true. Tonight the devil's trying to convince you. You have plenty of time. You're just a young girl. You're just a young boy. You have plenty of time. You're middle-aged. You're 58, 60 years old and you're middle-aged. I don't know how many of you think if you're 60, you think you're going to live to be 120? And you're middle-aged? You're wrong. Amen. I'm telling you, for all I know, this may be the day I go to heaven. I left my note, a note for her, telling her I loved her when I left home. I didn't know that I might never be back, but I want her to know that I love her. Amen. And if it's the last time I stand in this pulpit and preach, you're going to hear from me. Jesus Christ loves you, and he gave his life for you, and he wants to save you, and he wants it to be well with your soul. He's watching. He's waiting. Now he's walking. Look with me at his wording. And they cried out for fear. Look at his wording, verse 27. Straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Jesus is speaking peace to their troubled souls. Fourthly, and I'll be done. And I want to anchor right here. Fourthly, I want you to see the program for the saints of God. Whatever it is tonight that's your problem, whatever it looks like that's going to sink your ship. And man, I've seen some things, some rocky waters in the last few weeks myself. God said you could have unsinkable faith. Richard Aaron, how am I going to have? I'm a Christian. How am I going to have unsinkable faith? Preacher, I need to be saved. But I'm telling you, I'm worried my faith won't hold. I've seen people back up. I'm afraid my faith won't take full effect. I'm going to tell you, you need to do a couple things. First of all, according to this text, if you're going to have unsinkable faith, the first thing you need to do is you need to have a vision. The Bible says in verse 26, the disciples saw him walking on the sea. Peter says in verse 28, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. Simon Peter, as a disciple, saw Jesus walking on the water. You know what faith is tonight? Faith is looking to Jesus. He's looking to Jesus. And faith is to keep on looking. He watched Jesus. Thought it was a ghost. Thought it was a spirit. But he said in his eye, be not afraid. Told him to be of good cheer. He looked at him and said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come unto you. And you know what he did? He saw him there. And he said, Lord, I see you walking on the water. And I want to say to you, Lord, what I know is over my head is under your feet. And I want to put my feet where you put your feet. I want to walk in victory with you. That's what I desire tonight. Peter saw Jesus conquering. Peter saw Jesus victorious. Peter saw Jesus superior. Peter saw Jesus overcoming. And he says, Lord, I want to see you overcoming, and I want to walk with you overcoming as well. You got problems tonight. Maybe you got tribulation. Jesus said in John 16, 33, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And if Jesus has overcome the world, because he's overcome the world, you can walk with Jesus and you can overcome the world as well. The Lord said to me today, I was praying, and I've took the steps I needed to take today. This is what he told me this morning. He said, you take your problem. It looks insurmountable to you. No human way this can be solved. There's no human solution. I said, I know it, Lord. He said, now you take your problem and double it. Oh, man, double it again. Double it some more if you want to. But I'm still bigger. I'm still bigger than any problem that you face, and I've already overcome it. There's no obstacle squared. There's no obstacle to the 10th degree that I cannot overcome. Peter had a vision, Jesus. And faith is looking to Jesus. If you want unsinkable faith, it begins with a vision looking to Jesus. Second of all, there is a voice. Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Verse 29. And he said, come. As I was praying today, the Lord spoke to me and he said, have you ever heard me speak to you? Come. July 13, 1978 at Balfour Baptist Church, he spoke to me sitting way back there on the pew I was. And he said, knocking on my heart's door, time for you to come. Spoke to me. There's a time he spoke to Noah. He said, Noah, it's time for you to get in the boat that you've been building this whole time. You know what he said? He said, come thou. You know what that means? Tonight, if Dad, would you come? That means leave where you are and come to me. When he said, Noah, I want you to leave where you are and come. He didn't tell him to go, but he told him to come. In other words, come to where I am. I'm telling you, somebody tonight, he's bidding you to come forward. He's bidding you to step forward on faith. He has a work he wants to do. Amen. He says, do you hear his voice? I'm telling you, he's spoken to me many times about things that I need to do. Well, preacher, and I've not heard him audibly. This is his word. Let him open his mouth to you. Get in it. Start reading it. It's convicting. It's powerful. There's words of salvation. There's words of supply. There's words of provision. There's words, amen, to cause you to come forward. And hey, the Spirit and the bride say, come. It's time for you to come forward and call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say this? Peter did not dare start out of that boat until he was invited by the Lord Jesus Christ. Simon Peter did not step out of that boat on his own. If he would have, he wouldn't have made it. But when the Lord gave him an invitation, come, Peter, on the word of the Lord, on the word of God, an invitation from the word of God, Peter stepped forward. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Peter, as he stepped out of the boat, he's walking on the water. But he's not as much walking on the water as he is walking on the word. I wonder when he stepped out what he felt. Jell-O? Slick? Like gelatin gonna fall? No, honey, he stepped out on them waves, boisterous, that wind blowing against him. When I stepped out at the Balfour Baptist Church, honey, I may come down a trembling sinner, but when I called on him and he saved me, I went back standing on the rock of salvation. No more trembling, amen. I stood bold and courageously on the word of God. He had unsinkable faith because of the vision. He got his eyes on Jesus. He had unsinkable faith because of the voice, amen. He is supported by the word of God. I'm thinking now about his victory. How many of y'all believe Jesus can walk on water? More than four. We've had revival this week. How many of y'all believe Jesus can walk on water? There's three people raised their hand at home. Amen. Most of us believe theoretically that we could, that he would help us to walk on water. What is the difference, Preacher Darren? I believe, but what's the difference between belief and faith? I'm going to give it to you right now. This is deep. Walter Apology 101. Faith is belief with legs on it. I believe you, Lord. And it sure does feel good. It sure is liberating to step out and trust him. Verse 29. He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on water. Go to Jesus. Faith is venturing in God's faithfulness. It's committing yourself to the word of God, and then to the waves of life, if need be. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, aha! You've said unsinkable faith, but he began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Peter steps out of the boat, puts his feet down on something, now you get me, solid, stable. Woo! He begins to walk. He thinks, this is wonderful. Then he sees the boisterous winds driving the wave. Maybe they're trying to slap him in the face. And all of a sudden, he gets his eyes off the Savior and gets his eyes back on the storm. And instead of saying, this is wonderful, he says, this is impossible. Have you ever been there? You stepped out. You ventured and got your eyes on something that made you afraid. And all of a sudden you began to sink and you said, this is impossible. Well, Preacher Darren, he began to sink and you said unsinkable faith. You're telling me to get out of the boat. You almost had me. You're telling me to get out of the boat. But then look what happened to Peter. And what is the guarantee that if it happened to Peter, that it won't happen to me, Preacher Darren? Convince me. Well, you're right. This is one of the saddest events in the Bible. Peter sank. He drowned there. Now we've got to go tell his family. John and Thomas had to go fishing for his body. At the last second, they grabbed it beside the boat. They picked his body up. And I'm just telling you, they picked his body up and they laid it down there in the boat. They had to go back and tell his wife. What a sad funeral it was. One of the saddest events that ever happened when Simon Peter drowned in that very event. And Jesus said, oh man, I made a big mistake inviting that man to get out of the boat. That was just a tragic thing. I guess I'll never do that again. Is that how that story turned out? No, it's not how that story turned out. When Peter began to sink, he said, at least he recognized it, Lord, save me. And immediately, the Lord reached down his hand and caught him and lifted him. Peter didn't drown. His faith was unsinkable. You said it, Brother Gunn. He didn't realize what you said. But you said the Lord cannot deny himself. And if Simon Peter has placed his faith in Jesus Christ, and if Simon Peter drowns, the Lord's denied himself. Woo! But because that young man placed his faith in Jesus, when he started to sink and said, Lord, save me, he's the same. And he lifted him to a place of safety. And now he's in victory one more time. You may have had a sinking spell, but you're not going to drown. And may I just point this out tonight? He walked further on the water than any of the rest of us did. You may follow him, but I may say this. I don't know how far he walked before he started sinking, but somehow he got back to the boat. Do you think after the Lord called him and said, oh ye a little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Do you think now he said, took him hand in hand and said, let's just go back to the boat. Yeah. You think they walked on water to get back? Woo! Well, Preacher Darren, I don't know so much about that. He walked on. Well, then evidently he jumped up in the Lord's arms and the Lord said, let me just carry you the rest of the way. And that'll work too, amen. There's been times he's assisted us and helped us. I want to look at faith's value. When they got back to the boat, the wind ceased. Verse 33, when it calmed down, they came and worshiped him. Brethren, we have... I wonder if they started singing. That old hymn right there in that boat. Woo! They've worshiped him in that boat in that very hour. I'm just going to say, maybe tonight, somebody, you're comfortable in your boat. But I want to say it's safer with Jesus out there on the waves than it is in the boat without him. And there's somebody, I'm telling you, he dealt with me today. You go ahead and stay in your boat if you want to, boy. I bless you to be where you are. But if you want to see a real miracle, if you want to see me really at work, some of the other disciples say, oh, Thomas said, oh boy, what a mistake this is. Oh, wait a minute, Lord, this is impossible. And he saved him. Lord, saved me, and he lifted him back up. There's a little boy. He and his family were in a tragic, tragic accident out at sea. His parents both drowned. The little boy was washed up on a rock. They rescued him. How blessed he was the next morning. They saw him there and all the wreckage. They grabbed him there and he was just trembling and shaking. They put him in the safety boat. They said, son, are you okay? He said, I've shook all night. I've trembled all night long. I was so cold. I was so afraid. My mom and my daddy. Nobody could save me. Nobody could help me. I didn't know what I was going to do. Well, son, what else happened to you? He said, I shook all night, but that rocked it. I'm going to point this out and I'm done. Look back at verse 22. Preacher Darren, I'm in a storm. I want you just to see something. Verse 22. He placed you there. He's the one that said, I want you to go through the storm. He sent his disciples to go before him to the other side. He has placed you in the storm. When he was up on the mountainside in verses 23 and 24, he sees you in the storm. I want you to recognize that tonight. Will you recognize it? He put me here and he sees me here. He knows my imminent danger. I want you to realize, verse 25, he will come for me. He will not leave me there. I want you to look at verse 27. He will reveal himself to me. Be of good cheer. It is I in the Greek. It is. Listen to this. Be not afraid. I am. I am. Woo. Be not afraid. Be of good cheer. I am. Be not afraid. Verses 30 and 31. He will see me through. I'm done preaching. I had gone to Bryson City, North Carolina to preach in revival. Sunday morning, Sunday night, huge crowds, God all over the place. Nobody moved. Altar call, nobody moved. The place was frozen. I thought I was going to have to preach on the frozen. Tuesday, I'm thinking, I just need to go back home. There's 2 days left of this meeting. I need to go home. It's over. I can't reach them. I can't get to them. Lord, what am I going to do? On Tuesday, I'm in a cabin. There's no phone. There's no television. There's no cell phone, sir. I mean, I'm just sitting on the deck. I've been praying. I've been on my face all morning. Got my Bible just sitting here. And on the deck railing flew a sparrow with a bird in its with a worm in its mouth, and it put the worm down on the deck railing, and it starts chirp 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 chirp, and I went, how cool! God's provided him a worm, and he's thankful, and he's saying the blessing. And while he was praying, a great big black bird, a crow, if you will, out of nowhere swooped in, grabbed the worm and flew off to a tree somewhere and went, what? That little sparrow, I watched him. He never moved. He stayed right there. He going, chirp, 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 chirp. I thought, bless God, if you won't go after him, I will. Where's my shotgun? He stole your worm. Your worm got away. That's not fair. This is ridiculous. God said, listen to the sparrow. Chirp, 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 chirp. Cheer up, cheer, cheer up, cheer up, cheer up. The worm got away, but he's still Savior. Cheer up, cheer up, cheer up. God gave me a message on all the cheer ups in the Bible. And I went back and God saved 15. Preacher Darren, how'd you know? A little bird, he told me. I want to say this tonight and I'm done. On the authority from God, tonight, God has dealt with a soul, and He wants you to move. He's bidding you, step out of the boat that you're in. Come to me. I want to save you tonight. Tonight, you'll have life everlasting. Tonight is your moment to move. Leave the safety of the boat and step out in faith and call on the Lord Jesus. And there's others tonight. You're here. Can He supply? Can He sustain me? Can He help me? I'm telling you, God has given you an invitation for revival to do a great work at Fletcher. Will you allow Him? Do you want unsinkable faith? Preacher, my faith is like this. The Lord wants you to have unsinkable faith. To be over and above and overcoming and conquering. You stand to your feet. Somebody come to the piano. Your head's bowed, nobody's looking. Will you come? Come on right now. Anybody, you need to come. Preacher Darren, I need faith that's unsinkable. Lord, I need that tonight. Preacher Darren, I'm coming. God is dealing with my heart. God is dealing with my soul. Preacher Darren, I'm coming. God dealt with me. Here I come, preacher. Right now. Come on, mind me. Oh, my. Oh, my. This is your night. Come on. Call on. Please call. Oh, God. Our Father and our God, as I bow my head before you this evening, Father, there is a storm. My brothers and sisters are in it. Father, they have family, God, that needs rescuing. Oh, God, you're dealing with their soul. God, there's a young man. He's needing to step out in faith. God, there's a daddy here, Lord. You're dealing with his heart. Step out and come to me. There's a mother. She's so afraid of this storm. She's seeing things that she thinks is ghost, and she's in complete panic mode. Lord, I'm asking you tonight, God, would you speak to them? Lord, here they've stepped out. They've made their way from the safety of their pew. They've made their way to an old-fashioned altar to call upon the name of Jesus. They have a vision of you, sir, walking victoriously upon the sea of life in the middle of a raging storm. And they've got their eye on you and your ability. Father, they hear your voice speak to them and woo them and draw them to a place away from where they currently are, and they step in faith. And tonight, God, as they venture, God, to go forward, Lord, I pray that you'd help them to have victory, to walk on the water, to set their feet on this raging, this boisterous storm that has opposed them. Lord, I pray you'd help all their friends and neighbors to see they've stepped out in faith with Jesus, and He's overcome the billows of life. And watch how He's provided for them. Watch how He's taken them to a place of safety. Oh, Lord, tonight, truly, Thou art the Son of God, and we worship You, Lord. Let us place our feet where You place Your feet. Let us have victory, Father, and worship and value our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God, help us, I pray. Save souls at Fletcher. Revive, rekindle, I pray, in Jesus' name.
Grant God these tonight, that they might have faith unseekable. Lord, save me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.